Hey, good morning. Let's turn to Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5, we'll go from verse 25. Mark 5:25. And a woman who had had a hemorrhage for 12 years and had endured much at the hands of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was not helped at all, but rather had grown worse, after hearing about Jesus, came up in the crowd behind him and touched his cloak. For she thought, if I just touch his garments, I shall get well. And immediately the flow of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her affliction. And immediately Jesus, perceiving in himself that the power proceeding from him had gone forth, turned around in the crowd and said, who touched my garments? And his disciples said to him, you see the multitude pressing in on you, and you say, who touched me? And he looked around to see the woman who had done this. But the woman, fearing and trembling, aware of what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction. Amen. I want to, this morning again, kind of piggyback from yesterday and talk about really a picture of prayer. And what I've been trying to do is, you know, spend some time these mornings, and especially this week, trying to give us a picture of what praying is like, right? And so yesterday, you know, we talked about, you know, the friends that brought the paralytic down, you know, through the roof of the and, you know, and the key there was that they brought him right center, right in front of Jesus. And that's a picture of what our intercession's like. You know, when we intercede for other people, it's like bringing people right there in the, into the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we see another aspect of prayer, and so we have this woman who had a hemorrhage for 12 years, and so she suffered a lot. A hemorrhage would mean a flow of blood, right? And so in a Jewish context, this would be very, very bad, right? If you understand the theme of blood through the Bible, we'll see that it is incredibly significant, especially, obviously, when it relates to Jesus, because it's a foreshadowing, right? And so, you know, one of the issues of blood, if you think about it, you know, is that it's what cleanses us, right? But it was always the shedding of blood, right? There was always something that was shed, you know, that brought forgiveness and brought cleansing and brought healing, which was a foreshadowing of Christ. And so even if you look at, like, the prodigal son, right, there was the shedding of blood that brought about the celebration. And so if you start looking at the Bible with this kind of lens, you can kind of go on. I don't want to get gross, you know, especially this is the morning, but kind of another kind of interesting thing too, especially, you know, I mean, there's no reason to talk about this, but I will anyway. You know, when we look at, like, when we talk about sexual purity, right? I mean, think about this. The God set apart the Jewish people, the Jewish race, you know, and he gave a sign of covenant, and the covenant was was circumcision, which was cutting the blood flowing and peeling back of manhood, basically. You know, the flip side would be in women, you know, was instituted, you know, what's called a hymen, right? I mean, we are aware of that. And there's actually no medical reason why it should be there. But when the intercourse is broken or when that happens, what precedes, what goes after it? It's a flow of blood. It's just one of those kind of crazy things that once you start looking at it more and more, you see, like, wow, maybe God's really saying something about this blood issue, you know, and obviously he is if you begin to read the text carefully, but that's not what we're talking about here. And so this woman had a flow of blood, you know, for years, and she wasn't helped, she couldn't do anything, and she becomes so desperate, right, that she hears about this Jesus who heals people. You know, and she's thinking, you know, she spent her whole fortune trying to get well, and she's thinking, you know, if I just touch him, I'll be healed. You know, and so she, you can't really tell on this passage, but the Matthew 9 passage makes it very clear that she actually touches the fringe of his cloak, which means the very bottom part of his outer garment. You know, and so she basically is on her knees, crawling through the crowd, and she touches his hem, right, the bottom of his garment, and he gets well. And Jesus makes this response afterwards, right? He feels something touches him, right? We don't know exactly how this works out, but something touches Jesus, and he said, "Who touched my garments? Who touched me?" You know, and the disciples were incredulous and saying, "Well, you know, Jesus, crazy." You know, because there's crowds pressing in on them. You know, there's nowhere to go. So just think of like, Christmas, right? Causeway Bay. You know, going through from, you know, across the street from Sogo. That's kind of the situation, right? Just people pressing in all around you. And he still says this, "Who touched me?" See, this is a beautiful picture of persistent prayer, right? This woman, right, gets on her knees, and understanding Jewish custom, she risked her life. In Jewish culture, if there was ever a person that had a flow of blood and actually came in contact with another person, you actually could die. You know, if one of you had a flow of blood, you know, which would basically mean, like, you know, for women, basically it was during your menstrual cycle, right? And you actually went in public and you touched a man or someone like that, right? I had a legal right to kill you on site. You know, I could stone you, you know? And so this woman literally risks her life, you know, goes through the crowd. If anyone were to recognize her as the one, she's dead meat. But her heart, her willingness to touch Jesus was more valuable than her own life. And so she comes to that place, she touches the fringe of his cloak, you know, and she knows the law, she knows Jesus knows the law, and that's why scripture says she was afraid. She was thinking, "Oh my gosh, I'm dead meat now. He saw me, he recognized me." But yet she's healed instantly. And so what happens? She comes to that place, right, and the Lord turns to her, and he says something very significant. And if you look at a lot of other healings, right, he doesn't really use these words, but he turns to her and says, "Daughter," right? He owns her now, you know, not in a negative way, right? But he's, you know, places the label of relationship and adoration on this child. And that's significant because Jairus is there, but that's a whole nother sermon, okay? You know, and so he comes and he begins to really release that into this woman's life, especially if you think in context, you know, for 12 years, this woman has no human contact except doctors rip her off, right? And here's Jesus comes and just touches, you know, and so that's a beautiful side, right? So there's two sides of this thing. It's obviously the woman and her heart, you know, and, you know, to really go, you know, go for it in God. And it's also Jesus. You know, the crazy thing is in the world, right, this unclean person touches a person, and that person becomes unclean. See, in the Lord Jesus Christ, an unclean person touches Jesus, and that person becomes clean. Totally different, right? You know, what I want to focus on is we pray today, you know, about certain things, have this attitude. When you're praying, when you're interceding, you know, not only like we talked about yesterday, are you putting that person that you're praying for into the center, right in front of Jesus, right? But you're also making a way in some way through our prayers that we're actually touching him. You know, and if we would begin to pray with that kind of mindset, and just imagine your prayers, your intercession, because it's a warfare in some way. And imagine your intercession just like your prayers roaming through the crowd. And your destination is Jesus. And this was the woman's thought. If I only touch him, I'll be healed. You know, and I think that's a good goal of prayer, right? If I only can touch him, if I can only get into the proximity, I have to wade through the crowd of disbelief, the crowd of doubt, you know, the crowd of, you know, whatever, you know, stuff that you lay before there. If I can just weave through this crowd, this minefield of warfare, and if I can just touch him, I'll be healed. All right, so let's close our eyes this morning. And as a reflection, using this text, this devotional, whatever it is that this year of the impossible or whatnot that you're really going after in God, I want you to really imagine that crowd. What does that crowd mean to you? Is it doubt? Unbelief? Is it words spoken against you? Is it our own insecurities? Our own lack of trust? Whatever that crowd. And I want you to, this morning, I want you to barrel through that crowd. On all fours, if necessary, like this woman. And just say, just in your heart, if I just touch him, I'll be healed. And that's the value of persistent prayer. Just think, persistent prayer is just weaving through that crowd, risking. And then you get to touch him. I can imagine Jesus recognized that touch. Not because someone touched his garment, but I want to suggest to you that someone touched his heart. Let's just lift up those things that we're praying for this year in the impossible. And let's just begin to weave through that crowd in our prayers right now with a sense of desperation and whatever is going on around you. Maybe you can pray for your family or your workplace, or but especially that theme of the impossible, those things that you've been crying out to God for this year. Let's pray like the woman with the hemorrhage. Let's pray with that kind of attitude this morning. Let's go before God. Let's lift up our house churches tonight. Let's ask God to just really place His hand upon us as we gather together. Let's pray for Causeway Bay House Church and Kennedy Road, for Seymour, for Kowloon, and for Robinson Road. Let's ask God to bless these five house churches and the leaders, and would really empower them to lead discussion and to minister effectively to each of our members. And let's just lift up our leaders and each of the members and pray for a real sense of community to be established tonight. Let's pray. Let's pray for our retreat. Let's ask God to just continue to just place His hand upon us and the Lord really move. There's 175 people, I think, now that have signed up. And just really pray for everyone's schedules to be opened up. We got a few prayer requests this week. Christina probably most likely won't be able to come unless God really does a miracle. You know, she got called on a big deal. And Stanley as well, and he still can come, but he has to work throughout the retreat. And so I'm sure there's other people. Juhi is getting her passport. She needs to get her visa. You got to pray for that. And she's also being bombarded at work. And I'm sure there's others as well that, you know, are, you know, the enemy is just kind of increasing the warfare. And so let's just really pray over the community. Pray for all those 175 people, you know, that sickness or whatever, the enemy would not have any hand in causing them not to come to the retreat. And especially let's pray for Christina during this time. Pray for our speaker, Stefan, as he's will shortly make his way out here to Hong Kong. I pray that he'll be rested. He's coming in Friday afternoon, and then he's got to speak that night. And so let's pray for no jet lag for him and his team, and cover all the logistics and everything that's going on. I think especially pray for Kenny. He's got you know, a lot of organizing to do on his plate. And so let's just lift up all these things to God and pray for just a real encounter with God at this retreat. Let's cover it. Let's just pray over our missions focus, and let's pray for Hong Kong and our ministries here. Let's pray for Youth of the Mission, and the Fabi and her team are in Korea right now, and pray as they finish off their DTS that God will just continue to use them. Pray for Godwin and Shanti Ministries, and God will be at the retreat, so that will be really nice. Let's pray that the ministry there in Yuen Long would just continue to flourish under His hand. And I know that Pastor Nate and the youth group are going to start going out there regularly to help. And so let's pray for just a real increase in the visibility and impact of the ministry out there. Let's pray for Grace and Pastor Jimmy. And face-to-face, let's ask God to really continue to use them and really impact people's lives here in Hong Kong and Mongolia and other places. Let's pray for Sports Services International. Ask God to continue to bless them, especially as the East Asian Games are coming to Hong Kong, and there's a lot of work to be done to get ready for that event here as a sports ministry. Pray for Christian Zhengsheng College and ask God to continue to bless Allman and the school and the leaders there, and especially, you know, with all these allegations floating around, that the justice of God would just really begin to flow through this situation. Let's also lift up Armanda and our organization Feed the Hungry, and the Lord will just continue to use her and the ministry to really help people all over Asia, right? So let's just lift up these ministries here in Hong Kong and ask God to really bless and use them powerfully. Lord, we bless you today, God. We thank you for just constant reminders, Lord, of the warfare of our prayers, God. And Lord, I pray that, Lord, that we would humble ourselves, God. I mean, we crawl on the ground if necessary, Lord, to weave through the battlefield, Father God, of the crowds that, Lord, that come against your purposes, God, your will on this earth. And Lord, and we, Lord, just commit to fight the good fight of faith, Lord, on your behalf. Lord, we thank you. Strengthen us, God, this day. Lord, give us a will to fight, God, and Lord, a real heart to obey, God, whatever you ask us to do, God. And let us, Lord, really bring glory to Jesus today, God, in all that we do. We thank you, Lord. Watch over us, God. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you guys. Have a wonderful day today, and we'll see you tomorrow.